Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. We're on our way this Wednesday with some more corporate updates. Happy to welcome in Mr. Jamie Beck, CEO of Filo Mining, at least Filo, for now, Filo Mining. They trade on the TSX with the symbol FIL. Jamie, it's good to have you back on the podcast because we've got to get your corporate editorial take on the latest drill results out of the Filo del Sol project there in San Juan, Argentina. I was joking with you a little bit before we press record that a lot of people's commute there in Vancouver is shorter than that 1.8 kilometer hole you put down hole 68A, which returned 0.7% copper equivalent. Hole 69A was just under 1,300 meters of 1% copper equivalent. Well, let's get this cut to the chase of what the significance of these holes are, other than just the superb depth and grade of them. What were you testing here?
Yeah. I mean, thanks again, Trevor, for having me on. Always a pleasure to participate. And I think these results really just solidify the consistency by which we're putting down plus 1,000 meter holes of around 1% copper equivalent through that Aurora zone. So, you know, these are remnants a little bit of our South American winter drilling campaign, where we had clustered the drill rigs to that Aurora zone area within the deposit, and are either sort of infill or moderate extensions of that. And then obviously the deep one pushing the limits of our understanding of the geology as we go deeper into the deposit. And that was a hole that we probably could have kept going, but ended up having to stop due to rig capacity.
Is there a rig that's available to the market that goes deeper than 2 kilometers for this type of purpose?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the challenge is that those rigs aren't necessarily easily accessible in Argentina. Okay. We've now got a couple of new ones down there. We commissioned a bit of a partnership with Hi-Tech Griffith, and have these new ones from Hi-Tech, which is a Canadian drilling company. So they're down on site. And I think if we get one of those rigs set up in the right spot and want to push another deep hole, they've got a bit more capacity than the existing ones that we've been using.
Yeah, that's a Harvey Tremblay company. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I spoke with Harvey years ago when I was first starting to do these interviews. Actually, it was quite interesting. So sorry, we digress a little bit, but that was a little bit nostalgia there. So this hole 68A, it tested the west part of these. It was drilled towards the west to test the east and depth extensions around that Breccia 41 zone, as you mentioned, but it was entirely outside the resource pit shell. Hole 69A was, it looked like it was drilled to the east, and that was entirely outside the resource pit shell. How wide is the shell that you know of thus far, and what do you do to step out even further than that if you're not doing it already?
So I guess our understanding or the resource model that we're working with is currently pretty far out of date. That would be the numbers that we had published in our January 2019 pre-feasibility study. So when we say outside the resource pit shell, it's that resource that really guided the initial pre-feas on the oxide cap, where we hadn't included any of the sulfide drilling. So effectively, all of the deep drilling that we've completed since that 2019 season, including the big, call it discovery hole of hole 41 that we put out in May 2021, all of these deep intersections into the Aurora zone are completely outside of the mineralization that we have reported as part of that resource in the 2019 technical report. You know, how big does it go? We're testing 7.5 kilometers of strike at the moment, which is a bit of a mind-boggling number. We hosted analysts and investors up to site earlier in January, and I often get a lot of questions. You know, what do people take away from visiting an exploration project? And certainly when you visit ours, what we hope to impart is just that sense of size and scale. it's one thing to look at a 7 kilometer line on a plan map or right. something like that. But when you're sitting there and you're staring at a drill 7 kilometers away in the distance that you can barely see, and you think to yourself that there's the potential for this to be mineralized across that strike from north to south, it's just absolutely remarkable. So that's what we're testing. We've got drills turning right now at Jamelos, which is the target to the north, and at Flamenco, which is the target to the south, as well as a bunch of other step outs in between.
Okay. What is the name of the game for this year, Jamie? Do you continue deep drilling, expanding this mineralization to see where the next step outs will be, these other targets? I guess I'm asking this, and I don't ask it lightly, but with 7 kilometers of strike, I mean, you obviously could drill for years and years, but that's, don't necessarily think that's the name of the game or the strategy, or maybe it is. I mean, what do you take it to the next step to maybe update the resource, update that PFS that you stated just a few minutes ago that was completely out of date? It's a brand new project than it was 4 years ago.
Our objectives, I guess, and our strategy has remained pretty consistent. And I think will continue for the next 12 to 18 months. And really that, in a nutshell, I think we're on to an incredibly exciting exploration asset in the world of copper. These are rare. They are scarce. There are not many projects putting out 1,000+ meter intersections of 1% copper equivalent. And I think it's going to be an asset that's coveted, right, I guess you could say, by potential bigger players in the industry as they look towards growth. So what I'm trying to do is understand if a knock comes on the door from an M&A perspective, what's the hand that I'm playing with? You know, when I'm entering that negotiation, it's just trying to put some goalposts around. How far does it extend north? How far does it extend south? How deep does it go? Can we answer some of those questions? And that's really just a discovery type a strategy. We're not trying at this point in time to put 200 or 300,000 meters of drilling into the resource and ultimately define multi-billion tons that are there. The goal is more, let's prove that potential is there. Let's understand what the extensions are across our land package so that, if an M&A scenario heats up, then I go into it eyes wide open. You know, ultimately, we're in that enviable position, I think, in a junior mining company to be given that that level of that rope from our owners and our shareholders. To continue to go out and explore for the edges of this system. I think many companies would be sort of pigeonholed into trying to do that infill work and get an initial resource out because the ownership would sort of demand it. So it's fun really to be able to go and push to the edges.
Jamie, last year at this time, what was then I could argue was the top exploration story in the market, Great Bear Resources. They were acquired prior to putting their resource numbers, their maiden resource numbers out at the Dixie project. And so people are still curious what that number might actually be. It might be a couple of years before we understand what that might be. I mean, do you see a scenario where Filo, your shareholders and the board could get a knock on the door, you know, for some sort of acquisition potential without putting a resource on there? You know, is it too early what I'm trying to read from you is it seems a little bit too early to say yes now, but you are also talking about more cash burn to put more drill rigs or put more drill holes into the ground along 7 kilometers, which is expensive. So there's a balance there as well. I know it's a big question, but how do you balance this kind of how big you think you might want to get it before it's actually how much value you can squeeze out of it before it's acquired?
I think I think Great Bear is another great example, Trevor, of a special asset that allowed that management team to, sort of continue to drill and keep that dream alive. And obviously it crystallized via, the acquisition from Kinross. I don't know the answer to that. I think we'll take guidance from the market, from our shareholders, from the owners of the company and the board and management, and see what makes the most sense. The challenge today is that given the simple size and scale at Filo, I could put out a sulfide resource probably tomorrow. There's enough drill density in a certain portion of the deposit that gives us confidence there, but it would be a very small subset or fraction, let's call it, of what we think is the overall prize. So you run the risk then of, I guess, less educated investors sort of picking up on that headline and putting a pin in the deposit and saying, Filo, okay, that seems interesting. They've got X billion tons and it's not as big as I thought it was going to be. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. So, I think for as long as we can, let people dream a little bit as we explore and try and understand the size of that sandbox, we'll continue to do so.
How about, what's your current burn rate for 2023? How much are you spending in drilling and G&A and all that stuff, and compared to what's in the bank right now to get you through?
So as of our last quarterly release, we had a touch over 90 million Canadian still in the bank, and we'll spend somewhere between 15 or 20 million Canadian quarter on per quarter when we're drilling with sort of all the rigs that we have now. That spend tends to ramp up a little bit during the South American summer months, which is what we're in the heart of at the moment, and then we typically dial it back a little bit, reduce the rig count as we move into the South American winter. So our spend fluctuates a little bit, but that's a good guide.
Okay. So all variables equal, I guess, at the end of the year, potentially see approximately $30 million left over.
Yeah, that would be, I guess I'm probably thinking that we'll spend through most of that by the end of the year. I mean, our last quarterly update was our November financials. So we've been spending since that time, and then we'll have to carry on the rest of 2023. So, we've probably got enough rope to get us through 2023, and then we'll be needing to refill the treasury at some point.
All right. Let's go back to the exploration work. And I know you mentioned testing some of those different targets outside of the Aurora, but what, in general update of what the exploration strategy looks like for 2023. What do you and the team want to get accomplished come, December?
Flexible. I'll say that, we started with a bunch of resource definition and or infill drilling in the Aurora zone. We'll continue to poke away at that. Let's call 30% of our meters will be focused on building that geological understanding in the heart of the deposit as we know it today, and then step outs. So Flamenco to the south, which is about 4 kilometers or so south of that Breccia 41 zone. We're testing a geophysics target. There's some surface geochemistry soil anomalies that we're following up on, as well as alteration picked up by satellite imagery. We're testing the Bonita zone. This was a new discovery that we made last year, Trevor, which the guys are interpreting as a new porphyry center. That was about a 2 kilometer step out to the northeast of the Breccia 41 zone. We think there's a really good possibility of sort of learning from the one drill hole we put into it last year, and then guiding towards maybe some higher temperature, which tends to correlate with the higher grade structures that we see. So our hope is that we find another one of those really high grade ledges, like the Breccia 41 zone to the north around La Bonita. And then a further 2 kilometers north of Bonita is the Jamelos target. That actually forms the southern part of an exploration target we share with a couple of the other Lundin Group companies. Mm-hmm. So NGX, their land package to our north, Lundin Mining actually has a slice of it now through their Jose Maria project. And we've got the southern extension of that Potro Cliffs target, an area we call Jamelos. So that's sort of Wildcat exploration. This was picked up through a 3D sort of worldview satellite mapping of surface alteration, and lights up as a pretty interesting place for us to explore. We're going to do a bunch of geophysics up there and see whether or not that can help guide where we put some of the drill holes. So
cool.
We'll spend 70% of the meters, I guess, on these big step out targets, and 30% call it Aurora zone, and sort of as we build that to the north northeast.
Okay. So let's get to some fun. I mean, this is all fun. It's an incredible project. And every time you Filo Mining puts out news, it's just eye popping. But the latest news about this name change, a little bit of rebrand, you want to drop mining from Filo Mining. Give me the purpose of this decision, and you know, what is it supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, don't read too much into that. I think the Filo name has turned into be a pretty strong brand. And what we see here, what we're trying to achieve is just a lot more than simply mining. You know, this covers the broad spectrum from exploration through discovery, through engineering, through mining, through ultimate supply of copper into the world. And as we start talking a lot more to, I guess, generalist investors, you know, the early wave of investors into Filo, and certainly if you know the exploration side of copper, the mining specialist funds were on everybody's radar, right? Mm-hmm. But what I'm talking to more and more now, largely as a result of our market cap and daily trading liquidity, has been some of the bigger generalist funds. And so it's just a nice way to, I think, position the name as being that copper supplier into a new wave of decarbonization, electrification, green energy, all of the themes that are driving people to start looking for copper names. So yeah. We'll see how that works out.
I know you probably got this question on that recent site visit, because this idea got spurred in my head from one of those individuals on that trip. But I want to follow up and ask you, with the name change to just Filo, would the company with the board ever consider a spin out into Filo Royalty, similar to what Great Bear did with Great Bear Royalty? Is that on the table at all?
You know, a huge kudos to that Great Bear team. I think the way they executed on that royalty was excellent. We've looked at it. And one of the challenges we run into, Trevor, is because of the current market cap and size of Filo, that actually a spin out of a royalty crystallizes a bit of value, which would create a pretty massive tax liability from our information in country.
Sure.
So it's not something I think that we would pursue at this point in time. I mean, who knows if there was an acquisition or an M&A scenario that plays out later on in the company's evolution that allows us to retain something like that moving forward for the future. So you know something could be on the table there, but I don't think we'll be looking at setting up a new Filo Royalties company anytime soon.
Okay, so 2023, a lot more drill results to come. I mean, that's really the name of the game.
Yeah, that's the story. It's going to be, I keep telling everyone that we're going to be news heavy on drill results, and I need my drill productivity to step up a little bit to make me look good. So that's the hope. You know, I think we'll continue to see some good quality results through that Aurora zone. It's consistent and it's just absolutely remarkable. And then stay tuned for some of these bigger step outs and potential to surprise to the upside.
A personal question for you, and I think I asked you this once a while ago, maybe your answer's changed. You know, Filo is obviously tier one poster child exploration story in the market right now. You know, when you're kind of at the top, it can, there's pressure up there. There's pressure at the top. And so I'm just kind of curious if you, as a CEO of that company and of this story, if you feel that pressure, if the expectations continue to mount up, or is it, you know, wind to your sails knowing that you do have probably the best exploration project in the world right now?
Yeah, interesting question. It comes with the job, you know. I think any CEO of any company feels pressure from their shareholders, their owners. They want to perform. They want to spend wisely. They want to execute on their programs first and foremost safely, but also effectively and efficiency. And I get pressure from my board. I get pressure from my shareholders. The Lundins are strong supporters, but also strong in what their expectations are of the management team, and we need to deliver. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel pressure, but it's also I alluded to it earlier in the call. What an incredible opportunity! There's not many times in people's career that they have a chance to work on a discovery of significance like Filo del Sol, and it's just an absolute pleasure to work with my team and everybody who's pulling along in the same direction on this asset. So it's a lot of fun too.
Of pressure in the office and your shareholders was nothing, you get a head home and feel pressure at the house. So,
well, exactly, because I'm always on the road and I'm never there.
I'm right there with you. Maybe yeah. A little bit different, but yeah, I understand that. All right, Jamie, thanks so much for this update, and we'll be sure to report the news and follow up with you here throughout the year as more drill results from Filo del Sol keep coming in. Best to you and all the team down there in Argentina, and stay safe. We'll see you around.
Thanks, Trevor.
All right. That's your update from Filo Mining for now, everybody. Trading on the TSX with FIL and also on the NASDAQ growth markets with FIL and the OTCQX with FLMMF.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.